Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Wednesday, April 16th, and coming up in today's episode. 50,000 rupees fine for officials and warning for Telangana government by Supreme Court over illegal tree felling. Mamata Banerjee announces compensation for riot victims and accuses Bharatiya Janata Party of inciting unrest in Bengal. Supreme Court's strong message on language and religious discrimination. And China offers thousands of visas for Indian friends amid trade war with US. The Supreme Court has raised serious concerns over large-scale tree felling on land adjacent to the University of Hyderabad, describing the environmental impact as alarming. A bench comprising Justices B.R. Gawai, who is next in line to be the CJI, and Augustine George Massey, questioned the Telangana government's urgency in clearing trees over nearly 100 acres in the Kancha Gachibowli area. Quote, "You must come up with a plan on how you will restore those 100 acres," unquote, the bench told senior advocate Abhishek Manu Singhvi, who was representing the state. "If you want to protect your chief secretaries, then tell us how you intend to restore it," the court warned. All development activities on the land have been ordered to stop. Quote, "Until further orders, no activity of any sort except production of existing trees shall take place," unquote. The justices expressed shock at video showing herbivorous animals fleeing the area. Quote, "We are surprised to see animals running bitten by stray dogs. Where do they seek shelter?" unquote, Justice Gawai questioned. The court asked it would not rely on explanations from bureaucrats or ministers, but on facts concerning environmental and wildlife protection. The Centre Empowered Committee's report was described as disturbing. The court noted that the land had been mortgaged to a private party for Rs 10,000 crore without mention in the Chief Secretary's affidavit. Senior Advocate K. Parameshwar confirmed the mortgage had been made to secure non-convertible bonds. Quote, "We are not concerned with the financial dealings. We are only focused on environmental protection," unquote, the court stated. "First, ensure the displaced animals are safe. Show us what steps you are taking in that direction." Justice Gawai also criticized the timing of the clearance work. Quote, "Why the tearing urgency to do it during a three-day holiday? Bulldozers were brought in during that time," unquote, he said. The area witnessed large-scale protests by students of Hyderabad University along with other activist groups and politicians. When bulldozers entered the green area and started running over the plants, trees and wildlife. The court asked for details on how many trees were felled without permission and reminded the government of a 1996 order prohibiting such acts without approval. It questioned how the state circumvented that ruling. The Telangana government has been granted 4 weeks to submit a reply, including a roadmap for restoration. The matter will now be heard on May 15 next. In the meantime, the Supreme Court has directed that not a single tree be cut. "We will go out of our way to protect the environment and ecology," the bench said. The Supreme Court of India rejected a petition challenging the use of Urdu alongside Marathi on a municipal council signboard in Maharashtra. The court emphasized that language does not represent religion and described the claim as pitiable digression from values of unity and diversity, and raised up Ganga Jamini Tehzeeb. A bench of Justice Sudhanshu Dhulia and Justice K. Vinod Chandran was hearing the case filed by Varshatai Sanjay Bagde, a former councillor from Pratur in Akola district of Maharashtra. Ms. Bagde argued that municipal council should use only Marathi, the official language, and that Urdu should not appear on the signboard. Her plea had been dismissed earlier by the Municipal Council and by the Bombay High Court. She then approached the Supreme Court. Rejecting the petition, the court stated, and I quote, "Language is not religion. Language belongs to a community, to a region, to people, not to a religion," unquote. It added that language plays a key role in culture and communication, describing Urdu as a product of India's shared civilizational ethos, the same Indo-Aryan origins, particularly the Ganga Jamuni Tehzeeb. The court pointed out that the council retained Urdu on the signboard as many local residents were already familiar with it. All the municipal council wanted was to make effective communication, the court said. The judgment clarified that Urdu, like Hindi and Marathi, is an Indo-Aryan language born in India. It evolved as a common means of communication among people from diverse backgrounds. Over the centuries, it attained greater refinement and became the language of choice for many acclaimed poets, the Supreme Court observed. It noted that even daily Hindi conversations are filled with Urdu origin words. The word Hindi itself comes from Persian word Hindvi, the bench said. The judges criticized the historical division of Hindi and Urdu along religious lines, calling it an outcome of colonial influence. Quote, a schism exploited by colonial powers, a pitiable digression from reality, from unity and diversity, unquote. The bench concluded that there is no legal bar against using Urdu on signage as long as Marathi is also used as required under the Maharashtra Local Authorities Official Languages Act 2022. West Bengal Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee addressed a gathering of imams following recent violence in Murshidabad during protests against the Waqf Amendment Act. She announced financial support for victims and accused political opponents of inciting communal unrest. Quote, there is a sinister plan to spark riots in Bengal, Ms. Banerjee said, without naming specific individuals. She claimed that attempts were being made to create a Hindu-Muslim divide and that as long as she lives, she will not let any Hindu-Muslim divide happen in her state. Referring to the role of security forces, Ms. Banerjee alleged that the border security force had opened fire during the unrest. Quote, BSF also engaged in firing and action will be taken accordingly. I will ask the chief secretary to submit a report, unquote. The chief minister announced compensation of rupees 10 lakh for the families of those killed in the violence. Quote, we do not see the religion of victims, we only see their pain, she added. For those whose homes were destroyed, assistance will be provided under the Banglar Bari housing scheme. Shop owners whose businesses were damaged will receive help based on official estimates. Ms. Banerjee said she had witnessed the situation in Bhangar and criticized unnamed leaders for attempting to gain political advantage. She urged unity, stating there should be no Hindu-Muslim divide. She called out on the India bloc members to oppose the Waqf Amendment Act. Notable members of the India bloc are, apart from Trinamool Congress, Ms. Banerjee's party, are the Indian National Congress, RJD, and many Samajwadi in Uttar Pradesh, and many others. Addressing the Muslim community, Ms. Banerjee urged them to raise their concerns in Delhi through peaceful demonstrations. Quote, meet the Prime Minister, meet the President, and voice your concerns on the streets if necessary, she added. Ms. Banerjee directly appealed to Prime Minister Narendra Modi, quote, do not allow atrocities against a particular community through your home minister or central agencies, unquote. Accusing the Bharatiya Janata Party of fueling unrest, she said, and I quote, this is being done to create instability in Bengal. I will not let anyone provoke riots, unquote. She warned against misinformation and claimed that fake and AI-generated videos were being spread, and she asked people to ignore them and not react to any provocation. The chief minister then reiterated her commitment to upholding the constitution and maintaining peace. She said that they are investigating real issues and there is a fight to save the constitution of the country. Meanwhile, at the same time of this recording, the Supreme Court is hearing a batch of petitions challenging the Waqf Amendment Act. Kapil Sibal and Abhishek Manu Singhvi are representing Congress and others. Among those who challenge the law are leaders of Congress, Janata Dal United, Aam Aadmi Party, DMK and CPI, along with religious organizations and NGOs like Jamiat Ulema Hind and All India Muslim Personal Law Board. In a significant development, the Chinese embassy in India has issued more than 85,000 visas to Indian citizens between the 1st of January and 9th of April this year. Chinese ambassador to India made the announcement in a post on social media, inviting more Indian travellers to visit what he called an open, safe, vibrant, sincere and friendly China. As part of efforts to improve people-to-people ties, the Chinese government has introduced a series of relaxations for Indian applicants. There's no longer any need to book an online appointment. Applicants can now submit their document directly at visa centres on working days. Biometric data is not required for short-term visits and visa fees have been reduced. Processing times have also been shortened, making it easier for Indian citizens to travel for tourism, education or business. China is also stepping up efforts to attract Indian tourists, highlighting seasonal festivals and popular destinations. On the trade front, Chinese embassy spokesperson Yu Jing called India-China economic relationship complementary and mutually beneficial. She urged both countries to work together in response to what she described as global trade pressures, particularly from the United States. You said, and we quote, "Trade and tariff wars have no winners. All countries should uphold the principles of extensive consultation and reject all forms of unilateralism and protectionism." Meanwhile, many Indian students, especially those studying medicine, have begun returning to China after long delays during the pandemic. The resumption of student travel has been widely welcomed. That's all for today. You are listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Anvati, signing off.